Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio for the entire hour, Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker in with us today. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you.
Oh, and there we go. There we go. I got you on the wrong one there. Sorry about that. Thanks for being here, Sean.
I used to be muted sometimes.
We also want to send a big shout out to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Love our friends over there. Appreciate the work that they do. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't already done so, go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page and keep up to date with the amazing work that they are doing over there. Appreciate so much everything that you guys do over there, man. So, Sean, we got a number of different things that we can start with. Where do you want to start?
How cold it was at the polar plunge.
So darn cold. I wanted to get to that eventually.
Let's get it out of the way.
How'd that go?
Oh, it went great. We talk about it every year, before the event and then after. It's just that great partnership that we have, law enforcement has with Special Olympics. So last week, it was out at Anchor Bay. The folks there just doing an awesome job hosting. It's been out there for a few years. And the water was cold, as it always is. And Mike Weiberg, one of my, best friends, he oversees rescue. And he was in the water with a couple other people from rescue volunteering their time just to make sure everybody gets out of the water safely. And he said that, the last couple of years, every time I see you jump in, you just look miserable. I'm like, well, what do you think? I want to wrestle with you in the water like we did a few years ago, but I just don't think that would be a good thing for you to do. And I'm like, well, don't challenge me, but I think you're probably right. But we have the Sheriff's Department again in a team. We've been doing it over 10 years. I don't know exactly how much money that we've raised for Special Olympics, but it's in the thousands. And we always appreciate the people that are supporting not only the event, but our team to get out there. And this year, we had five people jump. And Macy, one of our night shift corrections officers, she raised the most money, over $1,000 for Special Olympics. So a big, big shout out to Macy and then everybody else that jumped too. Somebody just joined us that day. When our transport officer, Carrie, said, "Hey, I'm coming to watch, but I think I'll just jump." And I brought a shirt. I'm like, okay. And she's never done it before. I'm like,
right on.
All right. But no, everybody that came out and supported the cause, I'm very proud of them, our team, and the community to be out there. Southbound came and, they donated their time to, have one of our premier bands from the area out there. And like I said, the hosts at Anchor Bay just do a phenomenal job to put on an event. This coming weekend, we've got the Raider Run, the Keller Knights, a snowmobile club that I'm part of. They're putting on, again, the hosts at Anchor Bay make sure that happens. And so if you're not doing anything this coming weekend, I think the racing starts, or the time trials, however you want to call them, around 10 a.m. or registration is, and then I'll go throughout the day. But a great fundraiser for the Keller Knights Snowmobile Club, and an opportunity to locally get to use your machines, because it doesn't happen very often. But it might after this weekend. I'm hearing that we're going to be getting some snow.
Yeah.
But highlighting all the snowmobile clubs. I mean, that's what people sometimes forget, what it takes to, run the trail system. And it's all by private clubs with, the state helping out with supporting, the grooming. But there's so much more to, having a snowmobile trail. People just seem to forget that all the trail system primarily is privately owned. And you have to really give a shout out to the landowners that allow people to be on their property. And unfortunately, that's where we come into a part of this as law enforcement officers. When people decide to abuse that, that's where we're going to take enforcement action, because what that does when people especially go off trail, that really puts that route, that trail, in jeopardy, because the property owner is going to get sick of it and they're going to say, all right, no more. And we have no recourse. And that's unfortunate, but, big shout out to all of the clubs that oversee their trail systems. Hopefully with the dumping that we get here in central Wisconsin this weekend will put us in a opportunity to open up our trail system. So it's a, great sport. But
to that point, and I had in my notes, I wanted to talk about this because I think a lot of people might have seen in the news over the week that there's going to be a number of trails opening up in the state. To your point, we're going to be having a little more snow. So we are going to have some trails that are going to be opening up. And I thought it was a great opportunity, not only with that, but with the recent conversation. One of the more popular things in this town the last couple of weeks, if not months, has been the ATV, UTV ordinance that's gone around. So all of these things happening in unison right now, I thought was a good opportunity to touch on the things you're talking about right now. And a reminder to all snowmobilers out there and ATV users out there that those that have not voted for this ordinance to pass are watching with a keen eye. Be on your best behavior, man. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be otherwise, and I'm not even saying that necessarily that people should be right to be nitpicking or anything like that. I'm not on a side on this one. Right. I'm really Switzerland on this one. I'm going with the community on it. It's very rare that I am that. I usually have an opinion, but with this one, I really don't. I don't act like I know better. I know that I don't know. I know that I don't. This isn't my thing. So I'm literally taking back seat and just taking in the information from people like you and other citizens. I do know that much, though. I do know that I've heard from community members that are very on tune with this and paying attention. And something to keep in mind, to your point about being just treating these trails good and treating the property owners well.
Right. No, and that's especially with the snowmobile aspect of it. The UTV stuff, ATV stuff that has been going on throughout the state. Not exclusively just to the city of Wisconsin Rapids. They'll figure it out, you know, whether they want to go one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, they'll figure it out. I think that my always suggestion is take a look at what other communities have done, you know, and how has it worked for them? How hasn't it worked for them? And then you have an ordinance that you can, you know, create that, you know, makes it safer for everybody, you know. But again, it'll take some time. They'll work it out either way. I just, like I said, even people that are supportive or not supportive of it, or they're kind of on the fence, I think take the time to look at what other communities are doing. You know, I always say, look at what the township of Grand Rapids did. That's where I live. And I think they did it perfectly by, you know, looking at it. They have an ordinance that I feel is very reasonable. They started out with only opening up certain routes throughout the townships, kind of tested it, and then kind of moved it forward. You know, seeing, hey, we're not having the issues that we kind of anticipated, and now all of the roads are open. And same with Wood County. You know, going through our highway commissioner, Roland Hawk, did a phenomenal job by looking at all the county highways, you know, looking at the, you know, ones that are traveled more. And maybe we shouldn't have, you know, UTVs and ATVs on them, but here's a route system that, you know, we established thinking of safety. And, you know, and we haven't had, you know, the major issues. We've had some crashes, but in comparison to other motor vehicle crashes, they're lower. So, you know, like I said, the city, like I suggest, just take a look at, you know, what other communities are doing. City of Marshfield's open. You know, hey, what's happening? You know, what kind of issues are going on? What complaints are you getting? What are the positives? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that we don't like? You know, I really think that's the best way for everybody, and no matter how you feel about it, to become informed. Look at what other communities have done, and I think that's probably the best way to sway how you are going to, you know, move forward with it, you know, especially with the city council at Wisconsin Rapids, because I know that they're going to take it up again, I think, sometime this month, from what I understand. And I think now that you got an opportunity as somebody that lives in this city to do some research. If it's a hard no, then let your city council person know. If you're on the fence, do some research.
And that's I think that's a great note for anything going forward when it comes to voting, when it comes to any of these things. Do your homework. You know, look into multiple sources and ask people, talk to people. And I think you come up with your answers. And I agree with you that this is going to get figured out one way or the other. It's just a matter of time, I think. I know that, you know, for the audience that doesn't see the videos or know behind the curtain here a little bit, Sheriff Brecker always comes in here and brings his A game and brings a ton of material for us to talk about. And I want to get to every bit of it. And I appreciate that you do that so much, man. But I did want to ask you, especially because it is happening right now, and we have a chance to talk about this in real time, that there is an Amber Alert out, and remind people about that Amber Alert, and that there is a pregnant 16-year-old girl out there that we're trying to find, and that. Now, hopefully most people have heard that by now. Certainly the resources of the Amber Alert and the way that we get these updates and everything seems like most people, whether through their phone or their TV, have heard about it. But I don't think we take a lot of time to think about what it is like for law enforcement in this situation, right. How you guys react to this, and how you what we can do to help you do your job in this scenario.
Call us. You know, bottom line, once the information goes out on an Amber Alert or a Silver Alert, you know, that kind of information, those programs have been, you know, out for a while. And what's been happening for us that helps us is two things. One, the continued community support. You see something, you call us right away. And then technology. You know, there's a, we can talk a little bit about the Flock camera system that's been out throughout the country. And once, you know, you get a situation like an Amber Alert, it works on two levels. One, the public notification, what's happening right now, where, you know, the news media sources are covering it. You know, it's getting out to, you know, your cell phones, you know, so everybody, there's an awareness thing out there. And then what we encourage people to do, if you see it, call us, you know, get us a call right away, because there's some certain guidelines that we have to file for either an Amber Alert or a Silver Alert in order to make sure it qualifies to go through this. And once it meets that threshold, all right, that information is something that we need the public's help, you know. And so if we're having an Amber Alert out there, it's a serious situation. So now with the technology aspect of it, you know, with the camera systems that are out there that aid law enforcement, say whatever this vehicle, you know, the suspect is a 40-year-old with the 16-year-old who's pregnant, is out there. You know, the vehicle along with the license plates are alerted when they go by these cameras that, like I said, that are all throughout the state and the country. So that's going to help us because, you know, that information goes right to law enforcement right away if they go by. Well, we did hear that the suspect has changed license plates, but as we get that information, we can update the information that goes into this camera system. So you look at the technology aspect of it, which is, you know, you got to love it. Some people might not like it as far as criminals, but on the other aspect of it, it does make the public safer. But the thing to highlight, though, once the information is out there as an Amber or Silver Alert, you can trust it. It met that threshold of there's somebody that is at risk. We want your help. You see something, please call it in.
Appreciate that. And thank you for the rundown of it, too. And as a side note, I watched one episode of CSI and straightened me out, man. I don't know why anybody does anything anymore. You cannot get away with anything. I don't even know why you should be putting you out of business. It's just a complete side note. And trying to find a light moment here to keep the conversation going, certainly. Yeah, thank you for that breakdown, though. I appreciate
hopefully,
that.
Hopefully we can come up with the 16-year-old sooner than later and get her in a safe place.
Where did you want to go next, sir?
Well, again, just highlighting the polar plunge, Cole Cleworth, hey, he started off again. He's plunged over 10 years, a great friend of mine. Again, he got out in the community and raised a lot of money, so appreciate all that he does for, you know, Special Olympics and his leadership. So a big shout out to Cole and his parents. Next thing, you know, 10 and 186. You know, we've had quite a few accidents and fatalities there. And it's an awareness piece. If you're paying attention to our Facebook page, we've been putting a lot of posts out there in reference to that particular intersection and the awareness of Highway 10 from Marshfield all the way to the county line at Portage County. There's a lot of cross traffic there, not just exclusively at 10 and 186, but there's other intersections. And the unfortunate thing that's been happening in that stretch is the crashes and wrong-way drivers. The primary thing with the crashes that you're seeing are people are either failing to stop in the median or failing to yield, and then you have a T-bone kind of crash. We had a tragedy last January where Casey Rampton was killed. And, you know, the family, to their credit, you know, they're still grieving, but they want change. You know, and, you know, we sat down and talked with the family, and they're willing to you know, push something forward in Casey's name, which I give them a lot of credit, especially, you know, under the circumstances where this happened recently. But, you know, they want to bring awareness to make sure that, you know, something changes at especially the intersection at 10 and 186. Where there's some modifications there, some safety modifications that will prevent any other tragedies in the future. And, you know, obviously, probably wouldn't make it the safest, and we've discussed this as an overpass, but that's going to be a challenge because of the funding aspect of it. Now, you have to work with Department of Transportation, you know, our Highway Commissioner, our Highway Department, can't just go and say we're putting an overpass there, or even change the signage. Yeah. You know, do a lighted stop sign or something else, rumble strips or something. All that has to be approved by DOT, and that's a process. And I'm not, by all means, bashing Department of Transportation. It's the unfortunate thing. It just takes time to work through their guidelines and their requirements to make any type of changes. But, you know, what we're doing is reaching out to all of our local representatives, everybody that has any connection to, you know, that stretch of the highway in Wood County. And we're talking, you know, Pat Teston, Tom Tiffany, just a list of everybody, John Spiros, and they've been very receptive to, all right, well, let's look at this. All right, you know, what can we do to help move something along to make some changes, you know, not only at that intersection, but maybe, you know, throughout, you know, that stretch of Highway 10. And I want to thank all the people that are in the community that have stepped up and wrote letters, especially the family. From, you know, the mother that put together, I know it was very, very hard for her to write. But, you know, she did it. And, we posted that. And I think those are the types of letters from family that, you know, people can, you know, I could say something all day long. But, you know, I'm not the person that, you know, it does affect us as law enforcement officers and first responders and EMS, but who's dealing with it at a long term for the rest of their lives? And that's the family. And I give them, you know, a lot of credit. They're willing to share it and willing to push for some change to make, you know, at least that particular intersection safer in Casey's name. You know, and like I said, this is still something that is very fresh in their minds. But, you know, again, just thank you to all of our local representatives and our county board. They passed a resolution just requesting the Department of Transportation to, you know, consider safety changes, including, mm-hmm. not exclusively to an overpass, but including, you know, that discussion. Because I know that there is some, you know, opposition to an overpass as we, you know, talk to some community members because it affects property in the area. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. You know, I'm always going to fall on the public safety side of things. And yes, an overpass would most likely or would take care of that cross traffic and we wouldn't have those type of collisions anymore. But I'm not ignoring the fact of the impact it has on other people around there. And I appreciate the, you know, their safety suggestions and saying, hey, we don't want an overpass per se, mm-hmm. but, you know, we still agree that there needs to be some changes in safety measures. So I appreciate the people that are willing to step up because, mm-hmm. you know, for me, that would be hard for me to do because knowing that people died at that intersection and you want to somehow oppose it. But yeah. if you come to the table and say, this is why, mm-hmm. but I totally agree that, you know, we need to make some changes there to make right. it safer. And I think that that's a good compromise to at least discuss. You know, for me, you know, I'll, like I said, as a public safety measure, yeah, put an overpass there. But I know that that's not that easy to do, and there mm-hmm. needs to be some continued discussion. And there has been, and I can promise that we will continue to do that because I'm strongly in favor of changing something there to make that intersection safer. You know, in comparison to that stretch of Highway 10, and I don't know why. You know, I wish I had a good answer. But
that's my question. If this is a newer issue? Is this a new problem? Is this something that has been an issue for years, for decades? It's not as if this intersection is new.
No, it's not. I believe around 2011 is when the new Highway 10 area or that highway, U.S. Highway 10 highway, was redone from many years ago because it was dangerous and it became a four-lane highway. And it stretches all the way to Appleton as a four-lane, you know, highway. And, you know, there, if you look in, I'm not picking on anything, you look at yeah. Portage County, you know, I don't think that there's any cross traffic, mm-hmm. you know, where Wood County has cross traffic. And it's yeah. like, why? And yeah. Kevin Yeske, the superintendent from the Auburndale School District, did just people should look at his letter mm-hmm. because of the facts that he found and the questions he brought up really make you mm-hmm. ask, well, why? You know, why in this stretch, but, you know, other stretches in other counties, you know, there isn't the cross traffic, especially at a state highway that's intersecting a U.S. highway. And like I said, the challenge for the county is we can't just go out and change signage. That all has to be approved through DOT because they control the state highway and the U.S. highway. So, you know, it's something that, you know, like I said, we're not going to walk away from. We're going to work with DOT and hopefully get something, you know, changed, not only at that intersection, but other, you know, parts of Highway 10 to at least change, you know, signage or something to make, you know, that whole stretch safer for people to travel. It's just we're getting a lot of wrong way drivers. Some are local. We had a terrible fatality where somebody went the wrong way and had a head-on collision not that long ago on 10. You know, and what can we change to prevent these? And you know, I was an accident reconstructionist for several years, was assigned to the patrol division, and a lot of things that were brought up to me were, well, most of these collisions or tragedies are driver error. I'm like, well, most crashes are driver error. Okay, something the driver did caused a crash. But I think what, you know, as public officials and leaders, what we have to do is look at environments that can cut down on a driver error. All right, I mean, you could point the finger all day at that driver that caused the crash, but what in the environment could have prevented that driver error? You know, and I learned that rather early on in my reconstruction career that, you know, my instructors would say, drivers cause 99% or whatever the percentage is of crashes, you know, but you still have to look at the environment that could take that factor away from that individual driver from, you know, making a mistake that could cost somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. So again, we're going to stay at this. We're going to keep moving forward. As always, I appreciate our county board to take a look at, you know, the issues that we have going on that affect all of us. And they passed the resolution, which, you know, really just, I don't think it really puts DOT on notice, but at least makes them aware mm-hmm. that, you know, our elected officials here in the county are concerned about this. So let's work together to make some changes to make, you know, the area safer for all of us to travel.
You hit it on the head. What the answers might be, I don't know, but I know that we'll get them coming together. We'll get mm-hmm. them working together like adults, like we did with the jail and like we did mm-hmm. with other projects in this area. Yeah. That may have seen years ago, like, I don't know if this is ever going to happen, and then boom, this happens. It's something very similar with this, or like we were talking about with the ETV, UTV ordinance, or any of these things. The way we get answers is together and working together on it. Appreciate that the time on this one, sir. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be back with more with Sheriff Sean Becker and our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here at Midday Magazine at WFHR.